for your holy written and anointed word today. We thank you, God, that your word is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you, God, that as we speak your word, Lord, that there'll be an impartation take place so that people will be changed, and that the impartation will actually affect our very spirit being and our souls, God. It'll affect our emotions, it'll affect every part of us. I thank you, Lord, that as we look to you today, we're counting on Holy Spirit to influence us. We realize, God, without the help of the Holy Spirit, we are really totally incompetent in order to even help one another, Lord. That we do not have competence in ourselves, Lord, but I'm so glad we're not without the Holy Spirit today. I'm so glad that Holy Spirit is in this place. And as we tune our ear to what he's saying, we're able to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Father, we thank you for the privilege of having him being our comforter and our guide. Thank you, Jesus, for sending him to us. You said that you would send him to us, God. Jesus, when you walked upon the earth, you said you were going away, but you would not leave us as orphans. But you would send the Counselor, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth who guides us into all truth. We thank you for your presence today, Holy Spirit. And Lord, may you have your way to do everything that you desire to do amongst us in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, Holy Spirit, we always want him to be present, him to be acknowledged, him to have direction or give us direction as to what things to do, what things to say, so that we'll get a bit of heaven on earth. And that is what I mean by that is that we'll be influenced by heaven here on this earth where we live. And too often we have to be reminded of that, because too often we get caught up in the busyness of life. All of us have a busyness that we get caught up with, and that we can get that busyness can come to the place where we are so caught up with the things of this world that our mind are not on the things of the Spirit or in the spirit world or the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. But yet Jesus said, set your minds on things above and not on things of the earth. Now, isn't that an interesting statement? Set your mind. Well, actually, the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, spoke those words out. And he said for us to focus on things above. I wonder why. Why would he say to focus on things above? Why would he say that don't focus, don't put all your attention on the things that you need for this world. Try to make a name for yourself or do this or do that. That's something that looks big in this world. Why would he change that and say, set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth? I want to suggest to you this morning because it is because he knew that things of most value comes from the things that are not on the earth, but of the things that are in the spirit realm or in heaven. Set your mind on things not on the earth, but things above. So he said, you know, we're going to be here for a short time, really. If we live to 100 years old, relatively speaking, that's a very, very extremely minute time when it comes to eternity. So he says, set your mind on things above because eternity is going to be eternal. In other words, we're going to live forever. And so while we're going through this short period of time, set our minds on things above so that we'll be prepared for eternity. Prepared for where we're going to spend eternity. And one of the things that Jesus told us to do, of course, is to prepare the way of the Lord. Is when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, he was really saying, do what you can do in order to prepare the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. I want to just read a prophetic word or a vision, I guess, that Geraldine received recently. And it's because of this meeting that we're having on Tuesday night, I think it's important to let this settle in. And I want you, even as you read it, say to yourself, do I want to be a part of advancing the kingdom of God? Do I want to be a part of seeing the kingdom of heaven released in Prince Edward Island? How can I get involved? How can I bring the supply of the Spirit of Jesus that I carry to a meeting like Tuesday night and make a difference? And I want to say to you, You really do make a difference. Your very presence makes a difference because you carry something about the kingdom of God on the inside of you. And when you bring that to the table, it makes a difference. Just the same way as if you're taking something to a meal, you're called up and you have people coming to gathering together for a meal, maybe even next week when we're having our Christmas dinner. You know, if everybody came and did bring the things that you were assigned to bring, it'd be pretty slim. But we all have a supply to bring to the table. It's the same thing in the realm of the Spirit. We all have a supply to bring when we come together, when we gather together. So it's important to take notice of what God is doing in advancing the kingdom of God. Let me read this prophetic word to you real quick, a vision that she had. She said, I saw a room and I knew it was a war room. I saw huge maps. I saw a map of Canada and I saw a huge table and there was a large map of Prince Edward Island and there were people standing, strategizing. I noticed that the maps was divided into three sections, prince, queens, and kings. And each community was raised in prayer. Appeared like there were three captains who was in charge of one of the three counties, and they had teams with them. I then saw the island from above, and it glowed like a bright light, and I saw the principalities that hovered over this island, unable to influence and looking helpless and defeated. Praise God. Now, if you read your Bible, you know that when we read these words, these terms like principalities and powers, we're reading about spiritual forces that try to hinder God's people and keep them in a place of darkness and unproductiveness. And so when we pray together, when we come together to worship, when we pray, these principalities and powers lose their influence. They get confused and they're not able to advance their kingdom because we are in a clash of kingdoms here, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And as we endeavor to advance the kingdom of light, then that means that the kingdom of darkness becomes less and less and less influential. A part of that darkness, Paul said in 2 Corinthians, he talks about the blindness that's over the eyes of the unbeliever. He said there's a darkness over the eyes of people who don't believe. And when we are involved in dealing with principalities and powers, we're involved in dealing with that darkness. We're involved in dealing with that blindness that can be taken off the eyes of the unbelievers so that they'll be able to get revelation that Jesus Christ is Lord and that they need to be saved. When we were in Argentina recently and seeing the people that were being saved at each service that we went to, one service after another, there would be people all lined up. And I can't help but believe that somehow the same blindness is not over their eyes the way it is here. I can't help but think that there's been principalities and powers that have been dealt with that has enabling the people to be able to see clearly what it means to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because, you know, many people, they can look at people who are saved and say, no, I could never live like that. I could never be like that. I don't understand it. Why? Because there's a blindness over their eyes. It takes Holy Spirit involvement in order to remove that blindness and suddenly realize that I can be saved, that I don't have to die and go to hell, that I can actually be a Christian, that I can be born again, that I can live for Jesus. You see, when there's revelation comes, suddenly there's power that comes that gives you the ability to be able to live for Jesus. And I don't care how good you are, you cannot live for Jesus without the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't care how great you may think you are. I think that you do everything good and you never did anything really bad. Doesn't make any difference. You can't live for God without Jesus. You can't live for God without having Holy Spirit empowering you to live for Him. We're all in the same boat together, every one of us. We need Him. We need Holy Spirit. We need Him to touch our lives. We need Him, so we need to honor Him. And what I want to share with you a little bit about this morning is the whole concept of King Jesus. The whole concept of Jesus Christ, Him King as King as and Lord of Lords, Him being the sovereign of the universe, Him coming again. You know, we talk about Him coming first time as the baby and as the Savior of the world. And we celebrate that at Christmas time. And he's coming. He has come, I should say, in that regard as the Savior of the world. But he is coming again, but this time not as the Savior of the world. You might say, well, Pastor, what do you mean? You mean not going to be Savior any longer? No, Jesus, we'll always need Jesus to save us. But he's not coming again to release us from sin. He's not. He's already done that. He's already paid the price. He came, he was born into this world as a babe, as a human being. He went to the cross, he suffered and died. He rose again from the dead so that we might have life. He's already done that. And he's given us the opportunity, the whole world the opportunity, believe in me, accept my sacrifice as the payment for your sin, and you can come and be in my family forever and live with me forever. He's already given us that choice. So this time when he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he is going to come as a person who is about to judge those who are against him. To judge those who have not given their lives to him. Because he's done everything he could possibly do in order to encourage people to receive him. But he's coming again. Say this with me. Jesus is coming again. Well, I think there's some things, if that's true, you believe that, then there's some things that we want to do in the natural, even to declare that we believe he's coming again. I want to read to you some scriptures this morning. And now again, I reiterate this over again, that when I read these scriptures, receive them as receiving life into your heart. Because it will give you life. Psalm 24 says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting door, that the King of glory may come in. So there's been a declaration made and said, open the gates wide for the King of glory. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift them up, you everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. So the psalmist is declaring that the King, Jesus being the King, that we do what we can to invite him and honor him so that he will come receiving the honor he deserves. Now, there's something about a king, there's something about a kingdom that goes beyond this world. What do I mean by that? I mean, when I talk about honor, we live in the Dominion of Canada, and we don't really have a king here, but we do have a government, of course, that governs us, but it's not the same as a king, a ruling king. Have you ever stopped and thought about this, that when the Queen of England, how everywhere she goes, she's honored? I mean, if she steps out on her balcony in London, I mean, there's hundreds and thousands of people that are there. And if something happens in the royal family, it's amazing the things that people will do to sacrifice in order to be a part of it. And why? She's just a human being. The royal family are just human beings. Really, when it comes to humanity, there's nothing special about them. But the position that they hold is a valued position that people have a tendency to honor. And I believe that there's a spiritual connection there with honoring royalty. When royalty presents itself, the proper response of the subjects of the royal ones is to honor the royalty. Now, think about this when it comes to the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about this when it comes to King Jesus. We open the gates by honoring King Jesus into our lives. We recognize that we can't live without Jesus. We can't live in eternity without Jesus. That we are a people who need Jesus. That we are a people who cannot govern ourselves. I've tried it. I did it for 27 years trying to govern myself. And I have to ask yourself, how's that working? And it wasn't working that great for me. And I know you guys can tell the same story as well. It wasn't going that well before you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You may not have everything perfect right now, but it's a whole lot better than where you were before. You just got to stop and think about it. It's a whole lot better than where you were before. Because there are people who are on this island today who are dying without hope. In some cases, they are exhilarating their death, if you will. They're bringing their own death on because they have no hope. That's what happens when you're outside of the realm of King Jesus. But King Jesus, who is to be acknowledged, who is to be worshipped, who is to be honored, he's coming to rule and reign once again. And we will all meet him. Let me continue to read from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And this speaks about Jesus coming as a child, but not only as a child. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now, we all know that. That speaks to us about the coming of Jesus. But listen to these words. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. So he's saying that he's bringing the king into the world, coming as a small child, but eventually all the governments of the world will rest upon his shoulders. See, we're not declaring that Jesus Christ is another ruler upon the earth, that he'll have a kingdom here, and somehow over here there'll be Muhammad, who he'll have a kingdom, and there might be Buddha, he might have a kingdom, and then there's this and that. We're not proclaiming that at all. We're proclaiming Jesus Christ as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's no one higher or even equal with him. He's the King. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So far as you and I as a Christian are concerned, there's nobody else. There's no other way. And the Bible teaches there's no other way. It's important for us to remember that, because when we really get that in our heart and we realize that Jesus Christ is on the scene, we do everything we can to make sure we're there and honor the King. Now, let me read to you again about him coming. These are Jesus' words that he said about himself in Matthew chapter 24. He's talking about the end times. He's talking about what's going to happen when he returns. He said, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So something supernaturally is going to happen. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Why will they all mourn? Why will all the tribes of the earth mourn? Well, one of the reasons is that they will suddenly realize what they did with him when he came the first time. I guarantee you one thing, when Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, returns to this earth and the people on the earth see him coming, they're going to know that this is Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified, died, and rose again from the dead. They're going to know it was him. They're not going to be confused, who is this guy? They're going to know that it was Jesus. They'll know by the scars in his hands and his feet and his side. They'll know that he was the king right from the very beginning. And they will mourn because they never received him the first time he came. All the tribes will mourn. In verse 31, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other.